Here now is Lisa Bell and Candace Campos with Florida Foodie. Sponsored by Light Orlando, delivering hope together.
Hello and welcome back to Florida Foodie. I'm Candace Campos, and we have a pair of return guests today, Lisa.
Yeah, I'm Lisa Bell. We first spoke with this husband and wife duo in 2021 when they were raising money to open Orlando's first meadery. More than 2 years later, they made that dream a reality, opening up in August of last year.
So we are so happy to be joined with Ginger and Joe Lee from Zymerium Meadery. It's funny because we were sitting here going, Zymerium Meadery, and you're like, I didn't think it was that hard. We're like, no, it's just us. But welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So tell us, what is mead? M-E-A-D. Mm-hmm. Some people think we're saying meat, but what is mead?
Time.
Right, yeah.
So mead is alcohol made from honey. Okay. Just like wine is made from grapes, beer is made from grain. Mead is its own thing made from honey.
And how did you get started making mead?
We got into mead through craft beer and just exploring flavors and really fell in love with it. Florida's got so much good honey, and you know, we just fell in love with the art and science of fermentation.
So when we spoke 2 years ago, I said, you know, I'd never really heard of mead before,
right.
But you informed me it's really like the first liquor ever.
Yep.
Alcohol. Yeah.
It is original alcohol. Bees were making honey long before we were planting grapes or grain. So if you hunters and gatherers came across honey, it could be turned into mead with some water and wild yeast.
And there you go. That's what you got.
Yeah.
So how did this all start? I mean, what was the process? You guys said, this is what we want to do. What was that aha moment?
I'd been homebrewing for years, winning lots of competitions, because once you win your first, it's kind of addicting. And it was kind of always a fantasy to open a meadery. But then quarantine happened with COVID shutdown, and Ginger was doing installations all around the world. So she had her entire year booked up, and then
And then COVID happened. So I had all these plans to travel, do art installations. Everything got canceled overnight. And that kind of paired with right when we were talking about potentially starting up a physical location for the meadery. So with all my stuff getting canceled, that gave me the opportunity to sit down, and we worked full time on doing the business plan. And I basically transitioned to making that my full time project of working on the build out, doing the business plan with Joe, and then actually turning that into business, since I had a lot of free time to transition to focusing on that.
So. You're probably very busy. You're probably a busy body. So just finding an outlet for something.
Absolutely.
Just made you, like,
I'm used to doing multiple projects at a time, and I like to keep busy in a lot of different areas. So that really gave me something to focus all of that creative energy on. So I actually designed the entire tap room, and that was part of, you know, the build out and everything. So after doing the business plan, then we got the investors. And then it actually, as you guys might know, took us 9 months to get the space after we talked. So it was kind of a whole journey that, you know.
It took longer than you had hoped.
Yes, absolutely.
But it is absolutely beautiful. For people who haven't been there, and we're going to have video of this, walk us through what it looks like and what's it like to go to a meadery.
So there's definitely a lot of black. First thing people notice as they're driving down Mills Avenue, big black building, and a lot of people, the logo catches their eye. They don't know what it is, so it intrigues them.
Very artsy.
Yes, we've had so many people say that they were driving by and they had to do a quick U-turn to see, you know, what exactly is this big black building. And so a lot of them come in, and then you come inside and it's a lot more black. So there's it's definitely something that I like, is a lot of darker colors. And then since we work with honey, honey is the base for everything that we do. So the black is actually a backdrop for the gold elements, which, you know, pop off all of the other black elements in the space. So we have black taps on the back of the wall. There's hexagons everywhere. We have a black concrete bar top with brass inlay of hexagons. So the hexagons and the homage to honey is definitely woven throughout the entire space. And I love math, so the factor, hexagons have six sides, so there's a factor of six woven throughout a lot of the design elements. So yeah, there's a black gold and a lot of input on or a lot of thought put into all of the details and thinking holistically of the space as a whole.
So for people who've never tasted mead before, what is it like? I mean, is it like a beer? Is it like a wine? What is it?
Because it comes in different forms.
Yes.
So that's the best part about mead, is it can be everything and anything. It can be dry and very bubbly, like the champagne mead over here, Meal to Meal. We just bottled for New Year's. It could be more beer style. So these are your average beer strength, 6.5% alcohol, carbonated, full-flavored, refreshing, crisp, great for a pint. And then we have what you may think of more as traditional mead. These are all 14% wine strength. They can vary from dry to sweet. They could be heavily fruited, or they can just showcase the honey. We have a coffee mead that we do with Lineage every year. We have coconut meads. We have hazelnut ginger meads. We have every flavor combination you could imagine.
Do you make all of that right there at Mills, or where do you do?
Yep.
Okay.
Behind the tap room, it looks like a brewery, so it's all the big stainless steel tanks and oak barrels.
And what's the difference between like the timing of, you know, whether it's making a beer or something
sparkly? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, how different is it?
Yeah.
So the less alcohol tends to be a quicker turnaround. So the session meads and the cans are closer to a month. So more of like a beer. They're beer strength and also beer fermentation style. And these full strength meads can take 6 months to a year.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them we age in oak, just like a wine.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So when people come into your meadery, are there a lot of people who are first time, venturing into the world of mead?
Yeah. So some people do know it from, like, they've been to Renaissance fairs and they know it from Vikings. And, you know, every culture has their own take on mead because, as you know, it's been around forever. So, when people come in, they might have tried it, but for the majority of people, they're trying it, you know, for the first time, or at least trying a modern style for the first time, and they don't realize that it can taste very different depending on the honey that we use, and there's different styles. It can be fruited, it can be spiced, and so even if they've had it before, a lot of people that come in, they're still trying it like it's the first time that they've had it because they're trying something new that they haven't had before.
And is that what you're offering, is tastings so people can figure out what they like?
Yeah, we have flights. So we have a couple flights that we're really excited about that are pre-built. So we have a honey flight, a Florida honey flight, so that people can actually taste different Florida honeys specifically and actually see that depending on just the honey itself, there's different nuances in the flavor profile, the aromatics, and all those kind of things come through based on the nectar that's in the honey. And so, you know, people that think it all tastes like a honey bear that they get from the grocery store, they come in and they're like, wait, not all honey tastes the same.
Right.
I had no idea. So that's one of our favorite flights. And then the other flight showcases 5 of 20 different styles that we have. And so they get to try, you know, 5 of kind of like our top picks. And they can also build a flight by picking 5 that they want to try on their own as well.
And Ginger, I know you love honey.
Yes.
And a lot of your honeys come from Florida, but you also have some from other parts of the world.
Yes. Yeah. So when I used to travel doing art installations, that was one of my favorite things, is getting honey from all over the world. I can't actually say that I have a favorite because they're all just so different. Hawaiian honey has actually become one of our favorites. Lahua, which we actually made one of the meads from, and that's become one of our personal favorites. And they're just, depending where you go, tastes completely different and different consistency. And, you know, it's all based on the flowers that the bees visit to produce it. So even from season to season, it can taste very different depending on, you know, what flowers are in bloom during that time of year.
So, I mean, you guys are together, you're building this meadery empire. How is it? How is it working together? How is it figuring out the world of me?
It's incredible. We've been doing 120-hour weeks for the past year.
Wow.
It's been a lot of time.
Year plus.
Yeah. So for a year now.
Yeah.
It's just the two of us. We have wonderful bartenders, but we do everything else. So alcohol production is highly regulated with the government. It's both state and federal. So every formula needs to be approved. Every label needs to match the formula.
Wow.
So every word's regulated.
Mm-hmm. We complement each other really well. So, you know, when we were working on this, we kind of teamed up. He was focusing on making the mead, working on the recipes. And alongside that, as I mentioned, I was working on the tap room. And along with that, is also applying for grants, you know, from the city to get, we got a facade grant to get reimbursement from the city for, we got all new window storefront, we got the signage, we painted the building, so did a whole new storefront, you know, getting the licensing. So alongside with like doing the creative, the fun parts, there's also applying for the permits and things that, you know, it couldn't possibly have gone faster because we were working on that And we would wake up in the morning and then pretty much until we went to sleep at night, like every ball that we could have rolling.
It's got to be such a passion project for you guys, because to go through all those barriers, and as you mentioned, the bureaucracy, the red tape, that's a lot.
It is. People think I'm joking when I say that I wore 20 different hats on a daily basis, and it's just now I'm in this mode, now I'm in this mode, now I'm in this mode. And, you know, even getting the meads ready and thinking, you know, a lot of places open with maybe 2-3 things on draft when they first open. And we had
like
20
baby steps.
Yeah, exactly. When we first opened grand opening, we had pretty much every tap filled. So that was a lot, as you can imagine. But we ended up having more time between when we started production and when we were finally able to open, you know, because it was always one little thing, one last thing, one last thing. So, yeah, to be able to open and have 20 meads ready to go at that point, that, you know, ended up working out really well. So,
awesome. We are going to take a very short break, but we will have much more with Joe and Ginger Lee coming up.
Yeah, they're going to give us kind of a taste of what goes behind the making of the meads and kind of walk us through the whole science behind it.
You're going to pop this open.
Maybe after the break.
Welcome back to Florida Foodie. We are with Joe and Ginger Lee today from Zymerium Meadery. They just opened in Mills in Orlando in August. And you have brought some of your products with us
today. Just a few.
Just a few. So what did you bring today?
So the products or the honey or both?
All of it,
So the session meads, these are our carbonated beer strength meads. These are more crisp, refreshing. Great to just drink a whole can on a hot day. We have over here, we have something called, we named Figures of Oblivion. This is our dry hopped mead.
Who comes up with the names?
We both do.
Okay.
That was made with a friend that works down at Angry Chair in Tampa. We met at Oblivion, the restaurant that was in Orlando many years ago, so we had a reference that.
Little homage,
So that's our dry hopped mead. It's not an IPA because it's not bitter. And it's not a beer, but it still has all those wonderful tropical hoppy notes that you love about IPAs without the bitterness.
And then you brought some honey, which is, of course, like the main ingredient.
Absolutely.
Right.
And what honeys did you bring today?
So this is the coolest part about all this, is every honey tastes different. You may think of honey as what you get at the store, and it all kind of tastes the same because they blend it all together. They ultra-pasteurize it and filter it. And kind of remove the life from it. Also, literally, because honey is alive until it's pasteurized.
I'm learning so much about honey.
Yeah, it is full of amazing enzymes and nutrients and minerals and all the local pollens in there. It's really, really great stuff.
So where did these come from?
So this first one is orange blossom, which
I know this one.
Exactly. You may think so. But we are getting the most raw, unfiltered, unpasteurized honey directly from local pollinators.
So this came from Central Florida.
They harvest the honey, and then they bring it to us in drums, 650-pound, 50-gallon drums.
Oh, I love working.
And the flavor is explosive compared to what you get at the store.
Yes. You were saying previously that when you use the honey to make the mead, a lot of the sugar goes away. And so the flavor profile becomes very strong. So you would taste more of the orange blossom flavor in the mead.
We do.
Versus the sweetness.
We're using all modern fermentation techniques to preserve all of those delicate aromatics and flavors of the honey.
And that is good.
When you said it, you first put it on your on your tongue, and you're like, okay, it's honey. And then you said it punches you with the flavor. And that's exactly what it what it did. So for this orange blossom honey, where do you mix, where did that end up? Yeah, where does that end up?
So this one specifically ended up in our champagne style mead that we did for New Year's.
So this is bubbly?
Yep.
This is champagne-y.
Yep, we actually, like a pet net, we bottled it while it was fermenting. So all the bubbles are made from the honey itself. It's not force carbonated like a beer.
Okay.
So you get even more of that aroma bubbling out of the mead.
What are we going to try next?
So this one is another very common Florida honey. This is called Goldberry.
Goldberry.
Yep, this is a Florida holly. So this one, you're going to get more tea and citrus.
Do you sell the honey at your shop, too?
We do.
You do, okay.
Yep, so this Goldberry is from Fern Creek Farms.
Wow. It's amazing.
What am I tasting?
To me, so that's the best part is it's all subjective. Right. So you can tell me what you're tasting.
I feel like it's more of kind of a coffee-ish flavor profile.
I get like a dark tea, like a black tea.
Yeah. You said tea. I just wasn't paying attention because I was enjoying the honey.
Good.
Yeah. So where is that included in here?
Mm-hmm. So gallberry, let's see.
It's like a trivia question for
right. Yeah, we use gallberry, the Florida holly, in our Endless Blueberry.
Okay.
Our Endless series uses no water. So we did blueberry, raspberry, and bananas over here also. And each of those got 1,800 pounds of the fruit.
Wow.
And just the two of us. And mixed it with the honey and let it ferment out. So it is the maximum expression of the fruit and the honey. There's no water diluted at all.
And where do you get your fruit?
All over. Mm-hmm. We try and get local fruit when possible. Mm-hmm. But of course, everything depends on the season.
Right.
So sometimes our blueberries are amazing. Sometimes there was too much or not enough rain, and they're kind of...
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But this upcoming February, we definitely want to get strawberries from the Plant City.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We got some connections this year.
Oh, good.
And so when you're sipping some of this, is it more of a sweet note because of the honey, or...?
So this one, is 100% honey, but it's totally dry, just like a champagne. But something like our Soliloquy series, we try and highlight the honey. So this is 14% sweet, really rich. So it represents all the flavors of the honey.
Do you drink that just straight or over ice? Or
It's up to you, but we recommend chilled like a white wine and just sipping on it.
In a wine glass.
Yep.
Do you drink like that much wine?
No.
Or how much, like when you pour it.
It's like a port?
Yeah.
Like where you have like.
So at the Matery, we serve 2 and 4 ounce.
Okay.
Yep. And what's wonderful about these bottles, these full strength meads, is they will stay good for weeks open. Unlike a beer or wine, you don't need to consume it immediately.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you can take your time
and
really savor every sip.
And some of these meads have a lot of oak, so they will open up and evolve the flavor as they get some oxygen exposure.
So if we go to the Meadery, will you teach us everything?
Absolutely.
With people
because, go over all of this again.
With that flight, I mean, will people be able to get some kind of education behind it?
Absolutely. Okay. Our staff is really great and knowledgeable, and we're always there.
Yeah. As you said before,
With the 20 meads on draft, it's a little overwhelming. So we have curated flights, so you could just jump right in. And like our honey flight starts with the champagne style and ends with a decadent, rich, sweet mead. And everything in between, we have semi-sweet mead with gallberry, which is really nice, 10% semi-sweet. You know, you can drink a lot more of that one than the big sweet ones. But it still showcases the honey equally as well.
All right, let's try another honey.
So
what's this one?
This one is another. This is our favorite Florida honey.
Okay.
It looks thicker.
Yeah, it does.
So all honey will crystallize.
Okay.
I did learn about this before.
Yep. especially the more raw it is, it has all that natural pollen, and the pollen acts as a nucleus for the crystallization to happen. So the more filtered it is, the less likely it is to crystallize, and that's why they do it for the store shelves.
Okay.
Because it looks nicer, but it really ruins the honey.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is Black Mangrove.
Ooh.
Out on the Space Coast is all government land, and it's all black mangroves.
Okay. This is not a honey.
Right? This one's more caramel, butterscotch.
Yes. Like a butterscotch candy, but not really.
Yeah.
Yep. So a lot of our meads use this honey because it's so exquisite. And it's one of the most pure honeys.
Does it affect the mead if you use like a crystallized honey versus...
No, as soon as we get it warm again, it re-liquefies.
Because you can taste the crystals, which is kind of fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now I can see why when you travel, why you collected and brought so many back, because they're so different. And you really taste where you're coming from, because
Absolutely.
That's where all the local pollen and stuff is from.
Okay, and we have one more to try here.
So this one is very crystallized.
Yeah. It looks like butter.
It does. Where is this from?
So just kind of let this one melt in your mouth instead of trying to chew it, because it's so so crystallized. Okay. This is our favorite Hawaiian honey.
Is this from? It's from Hawaii.
Yep.
Okay.
So this is called Lahua. This flower is the first thing that grows on the lava flows. It's this red, spiky, alien-looking flower. It's only in Hawaii, and it has this crazy pineapple, tropical, bold.
But you smell the flowers.
Yep.
And where does that end up?
That we actually, this ended up in our Lahua Soliloquy series.
Wow.
It was one of the first meads to, everyone drank immediately at the meadery when we opened because all those flavors in a glass, it was even more tropical after fermented.
So unfortunately, we can't drink the alcohol on Florida Foodie. But if people drink this, will they feel like they're drinking honey?
Not in the sense of like drinking a honey bear or eating a spoonful of honey.
Right.
Because these are all, the sweeter ones are more like a sweet Riesling. Mm-hmm. So they have the big acid to balance all the honey because honey is also acidic.
Yeah.
So it's much more balanced. It's not cloying or overly sweet.
And this bottle looks very special.
Yes.
What is happening here?
What's the story behind that?
Yeah.
This one's our Endless Raspberry. We got 1,800 pounds of raspberries.
Oh, just a few.
Just a few, yep. An entire pallet. That was the minimum order we could get. And we combined it with our one of the most rare and special Florida honeys, Tupelo. This only grows on the border of Florida and Georgia, on the riverbanks. It's very hard to collect. Mm-hmm. There's songs written about it. There's towns named after it. Mm-hmm. It's a very exquisite honey. And so Endless Raspberry is one of our most popular meads before we opened. Mm-hmm. So when we made it officially, we wanted to use the best Florida honey there was.
Yeah.
Turns out raspberries have a billion seeds. And they don't float. They don't sink. They just kind of permeate the entire volume of mead.
Wow.
So we only got a 35% yield on this mead.
Wow.
So that's a very special bottle.
Yes. Basically, it's
your most expensive bottle. How much are your meads?
Just about to ask that question. Yeah.
Anywhere from 20 to 100. And our four packs are around 25. Okay. And, but, so yeah, that mead was our most expensive mead due to the yield and ingredients. But it is also our highest rated mead. We've been entering a lot of competitions. And that one got a 93.
Congratulations.
So just like a 93-point wine, 20 psalms got together and did a mead competition, and it was one of the highest-rated meads in the world.
Congratulations. Yes. That's awesome.
Well, one day Candace and I are going to stop in person
this
and
feels like an experience,
that
you know,
mead.
Especially
yes.
with the atmosphere.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'd be fun date night, fun girls' night out.
For sure.
It's
yeah.
the perfect date night. Yeah, what Ginger Build is, it's the perfect date night destination.
Sold. Right. You sold us, that's for
yes.
sure.
Ginger and Jolie, thank you so
thank
much
you.
For joining us on Florida Foodie again.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank
Cheers.
You so much for having us.
Thank you for listening to Florida Foodie. We'd also like to thank our guests, Joe and Ginger Lee. You can find their business online at zymarium.com. That's ZYMARIUM.com. You can also find it on Facebook and Instagram. Be sure to follow Lisa Bell online. Search Lisa Bell News on Facebook and Instagram. Candace Campos is on social media. On Facebook, search Candace Campos News 6. And on Instagram, search Candace Campos WKMG. Also, a big thank you to our production team. I'm the show's producer, Thomas Mates. Please take the time to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify or wherever you stream podcasts. And you can find videos of all of our podcasts on clickorlando.com and on YouTube. Just search for Florida Foodie.